With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today we've got Simon O'Brien, James Brown, Marlon Davis, Natalie Sawyer.
Hello.
Marlon, representing Liverpool.
Yeah.
Exciting for you?
Absolutely.
Slamming it at the top of the league. Are you going to smash everyone in Glory Hunters?
I think so.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be taken out. You know how it is. We're unstoppable at
unstoppable.
The moment, Charlie.
Especially
we're unstoppable.
On Glory Hunters, you're going to get so many points, it's unbelievable.
God, it's going to be a record.
Real. Tough talk here, Simon.
Yeah, well, you know, the way I look at it, like every Everton supporter, you know, we've got to beat them at some point.
Exactly.
It's just the law of averages. So today's the day.
Today's the day. James, Leeds fan normally, of course, but with Everton today.
Still am. During this game, I am still a Leeds fan.
Okay.
But I am working as the leader of the Everton team.
Well, right. I didn't know as they would seem to be blowing it again, Leeds, that would have just dropped them during this game or not.
No, you have to be with them through ups and downs, you know. But it is perilous, I feel. How thin our squad is.
I was brought to talk you through thin and thin.
So, thin and thin.
There we are. This is the Glory Hunters podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that invites fans to come and have a go if they think they're smart enough. Our guests are given the chance to represent the team they've always supported in an epic battle of wits where we don't even bother to warm up first. But who will find themselves seizing up and who will seize the day? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, this week it's a Merseyside derby as Liverpool take on Everton. Representing Everton is actor and presenter Simon O'Brien, and he's alongside team captain James Brown. Hello.
All right.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And on the team sheet for Liverpool is comedian Marlon Davis, who's with team captain Natalie Sawyer.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Marlon.
What's going on? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Very nice Scouse accent you got there.
I mean, apples and pears.
Oh, lovely. Very, very good.
Typical Liverpool supporter. <isn't> How was your Norwegian accent, mate?
Simon, why Everton and not Liverpool? That's the first question we have to ask.
Yeah, well, it's a good question, yeah. Because my brother hated me dad.
Oh.
When I was about 10.
Yeah.
And they fell out badly. My brother was a very naughty teenager.
Okay.
So he decided to spite me dad, he'd start watching Everton and take me. And so condemn me to a lifetime of misery.
Oh.
My dad got the last laugh, didn't he?
Do you ever look across Stanley Park and think, what might have been?
I can just leave now, you know. That's just offensive, isn't it?
Go on,
how
go
old
on,
were you then? What was the Everton team that you started watching?
So the Everton team I started watching, it would have been where? So it's kind of early 70s, so Roger Kenyon.
All right.
Yeah, so really Telford.
Howard Kendall?
Yeah. Oh, no, just after Kendall.
Okay.
Oh, no, I started watching them when they were proper bad, like they are now.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, they're not that bad. They're on the up.
They're on the flat line, aren't they?
Okay. Yeah. But you did see the great, we were just discussing before we started the quiz, the great team of the mid-80s.
What a time in my life that was.
Yeah.
I just got the part on Brookie, and at the same time, Everton decided to just be the best team in the world.
Yeah.
And we got 17, 18, 19. Well, at least I've got some happy memories of the Blues.
You mentioned Brookside as well. Well, then, do you have happy memories of Brookside?
Oh, very happy memories,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, got me going in this crazy
How
world.
Old were you then when you were in
17, I was then.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I got the job. It was a choice of, they came around all the local schools. I didn't want to be in media at all. I wanted to be a botanist of all things.
Yeah.
And they came around the local schools saying, who wants to go for an audition? They're starting this new soap opera. And I said, when is it? He said, Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon was double maths stats. I am shot up. And lo and behold, about a month later, the life took a different path.
You were, for a while there, you were one of the biggest actors in the country, weren't you? You were the most, one of the most recognisable faces in the country.
We did all right, yeah.
And
yeah,
did you know
yeah.
you were going to die, or did you ask to be written out?
I said I was going to leave, and then what I'd seen is I'd seen other people leave, and yeah. then when the next tax bill came in, they had to get on the phone and say, can I have a few more episodes? So to kind of force myself forward, I had a word with Phil Redman, the boss, and said, look, I want to leave, and let's kill the character. And he went, yeah, okay, I'm up for that. Yeah, yeah. And that made me go forward then, you see. Yeah.
So. But then you did that really good football show.
Yeah. What was it? Standing room only we did, didn't we? Yeah, and Planet Football.
Yeah, really good.
Football is the only job I've ever had that my mates wouldn't let me talk about in the pub, because I got paid to go and watch football in every country that was going to be in the World Cup.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So it wasn't a bad
job. Your character died in York, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all died in York. Now, Marlon.
Yes.
You are not a Scouser.
Nah.
Are you?
Well, of course.
In what way?
I'm born in North
West. In your heart, in your soul?
North West London.
Okay.
So that's sort of angles. Yeah, that way. My favourite colour's red.
Okay.
And my favourite letter is L.
Oh, that's so nice. Very good. And why do you support Liverpool, Marlon?
John Barnes. Just because of John Barnes. That's why just not what Watford, it is. Then? We weren't playing for Watford at the time. So he made a move to Liverpool. Yeah. And Liverpool were winning things when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And because of the red and living in North West and the L. And John Barnes, he's from Jamaica. And my family from Jamaica. So it makes sense. Then he did a rap. And then that was it.
That was it.
And I was like,
now, Marlon, whenever we have a Comic Con, we like to make them feel comfortable by playing a bit of their day job to people. So here's a clip of you in action.
But I had to move out of Mum's because she used to do stuff that irritates me. Just the little things. Like I'm upstairs and she's downstairs and she calls out my name. She's like, Marlon! 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 I'm like, yeah, Marlon! I'm on my way! Marlon! I'm on the stairs! Marlon! I'm in the middle! Marlon! I'm nearly there! Marlon! Last step! Marlon! I'm in your face, Mum! What are you still shouting for? And she's like, go upstairs and get my slippers for me.
There he is.
That was amazing.
So, Everton, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, it's not about medals on the table. It's an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Simon O'Brien, you're going to go first. And your 30 seconds start now.
Well, let's look at the facts from the School of Science. Let's look at the scientific facts, okay? What's the biggest animal that's ever lived? Is it a red whale? No, it's a blue whale. Blue light has much higher energy than red light. Opposite ends of the spectrum, mate, okay? Even everyone in the universe agrees with us, because when you look at Earth from space, from wherever you look at it, is it the red planet? No, that's Mars, mate. It's the blue planet. So therefore, you've got the biggest animal in the world. We live on the blue planet. That makes us the biggest club, doesn't it? Yeah? And also, when do we get a result against you? Is it once in a red moon? No, it's once in a blue moon. See? It's all about being a blue or a red, you see? Blue is the winning colour. We are the bigger club. That's obvious, isn't it?
Lovely answer from Simon O'Brien there. Marlon Davis, can you tell us why Liverpool are a bigger club than Everton?
Well, Everton sits where? It's within Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you're within us.
Yeah.
So how can you be bigger than us?
You play in our old club. We got rid of our old pitch and sold it to you.
Yeah, but what are you doing with your one now, isn't it? Like, it's just what it is. It's, like I said, we've got a hand.
Yeah.
And you guys would be like a fingernail on the hand. You're not. Who's bigger? I mean, Liverpool have got 580 million fans worldwide. Everton have 990,000. But you say you're the people's club, but the people have already chosen, and it's Liverpool. Liverpool are bigger than you.
I know.
And you just have to accept it.
All of our supporters, most of our supporters, come from the city.
Okay. Us is around the world. Yeah, that's what it is. So they've recruited me. I'm in London. And there's many of us. There's all around the world. We're just bigger than
that. The argument doesn't stand, to be fair, because I like Hollywood films.
Yeah.
but that doesn't make me a real Hollywood film fan. I'm not from Hollywood.
No, you're not.
There's not a connection.
I feel like Simon's turned up with a better argument than you here, Marlon.
It's this
I feel
logic.
Like you just turned up no, pretty arrogantly going to go,
if
we're just a bigger
else,
team.
The if best music, anyone... the origination of rock and roll was the blues.
Yeah.
Was it the Reds?
OK, there we are. I think I'm going to give all the points to Simon.
How you
because he had a brilliant argument that blue things, some blue things are bigger than
he
some red things.
You out of the water.
Hey. Hey. Here we are.
Giroud scored a brilliant header with the last kick of the game.
This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from TalkSport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
This is where I invite each member of the panel to renounce conventional thinking and suggest an idea they believe will improve sport for the better. Previous suggestions have included abolishing the World Cup, a transfer window for fans, and even doing away with halftime. This is an exercise in thinking the unthinkable, regardless of the offence it may cause amongst the Puritans and sporting snowflakes. Marlon, we're going to start with you.
Yeah.
And it says here, extra time, less players.
Yeah, football's a nearly perfect game as it is already. But when it comes to extra time, that's when it gets a bit boring. It gets a bit tense. And they've tried previously to jazz it up by introducing new rules. They had golden goal, they had the silver goal rule. What I think they should do in extra time, because it's 30 minutes, yeah, it's a bit boring. They should have less players on the pitch. So the manager, what they have to do is take off about two or three players. The pitch gets bigger. The players are tired. There's going to be more excitement. So I think that's what they should
do. And do they come off straight away at the start of the extra time?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, what about actually you get to pick the players on the opposition team that get taken out?
That's nice.
It's just like...
No, then you'll just take off the
goal. And it's blind. So you just write the names down. They've got to come off.
Lovely. Or a draw. Who's going off in the middle of the minute, but a draw, and going off is number 41. Just a draw in the middle, that's a nice idea, isn't
it? See, the reason I like it, Marlon, is also taking the game back to the grassroots, because when you used to play on the park, half the players used to have to get off to go and have tea, didn't they? Mm. So it's the same thing, isn't it? About 5 o'clock, you'd lose half your team anyway.
Lovely.
And in the end, there'd be about three of you, just the ones that your mum and dad didn't want to own.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful point.
And if it was late in the game, you'd never even it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was such a good point. I'm going to give Marlon 2 goals and Simon 1 for not even his own answer. I think that's allowed, I'm not sure. Yes, we've looked into the rule book and we can do that. There we are, 2 goals, Marlon.
Well,
how exciting, wasn't it? Yeah. Natalie, no game should end in a draw.
Yeah, we always want to see winners and losers. Mm. So why should a team end in shared spoils? I don't want to have extra time.
No.
I don't even want extra time.
No.
I don't want a penalty shootout either. What I want is a panel of people sat around coming up with ingenious ways of finding a solution to a 90-minute draw.
Okay.
So what it'll be, it might be, right, so it's 1-1. We have a crossbar challenge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who's decided this?
This is a panel.
And who is the panel?
Well, it's up to us. We can decide whoever. Oh. It could be ex-players. Whoever just wants to get involved in the panel. We will get a winner come the result. Whether, as I say, it's a crossbar challenge, an arm wrestle, a thumb war.
How many on the panel are there?
Oh, let's say a maximum of 4.
Scunthorpe v Burton this week, if it's a draw, will be decided by slapsies.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Whatever it is. A relay race.
A game of play your cards right.
See?
It's a lovely idea.
And you'll always get winners, so you'll always get one set of fans going home delighted.
I like it, Natalie. I can't see how the logistics work, but I'm going to give you 2 goals.
Thank you.
We are. James Brown, sound effects to lighten the mood.
Yeah, this is a very simple idea. Football is far too serious. We go there in trepidation. Most people come back slightly depressed, you know, a little bit unfulfilled.
Yeah.
That's why he's the captain of my team today.
Therefore, I want to use audio enhancement to lighten the mood of football. Shin pads and goalposts and crossbars should have sound effects. Mm. Like in Tom and Jerry.
Oh.
Right. There's no language in Tom and Jerry apart from sometimes... the people's faces you never see. Yes. Okay, it's all just sound effects. Forks going through heads, bodies turning into the shapes of anvils.
This is Leeds
away. People getting smashed into toasters and popping up. It's all just sound effects. Every time there's contact, every tackle, if there was a comic sound effect. Exactly.
Ha, ha, ha.
It would be great. It would be really
ha. Great header there.
And then also to enhance that, kick. To build on that at half time and full time, they should, you know, in rugby league, they have a hooter.
Yeah, hooter, yeah, or the
they
gong,
should alternate popular TV theme tunes.
Lovely.
Scooby Doo, Brookside, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hawaii 5-0, Hong Kong Fooey, Grange Hill, Persuaders. So one team will just feel even better. Yeah. And then for the losers, it'll soften the blow a bit. They go, OK, at least I'm hearing this theme tune that
I'll tell you the TV theme they could use at Everton.
No, we get to change it all the time. Oh. They already have a TV theme, Everton. Z-Cars.
Z-Cars, of course they do. Beautiful.
But then they rotate it.
I love it. Is it is it someone in the crowd doing it each time? Or
you put like a soundboard. Right. Every time you hit the post... It would just automatically go. Whatever. Yeah, exactly. So every tackle, every shin pad to shin pad would like.
Kids would love it, wouldn't it?
Oh, kids would just change the atmosphere, football.
So earlier in the season, when Everton were 2-0 up against Newcastle and managed to lose two goals in the 94th minute, that's just got to be. Perfect. I love it, James.
I loved it, James. I'm going to give you three goals. Which is very exciting, isn't it?
Three goals.
Yeah, Simon, you want to move the goalposts.
Yes, let's move the goalposts. And what I mean by this is, so the goal is on a track that runs along the goal line. Okay. And each manager has a remote control, as well as each goalie has a remote control, and a randomly picked spectator, season ticket holder, also has, and they can each move the goal once during the game.
Just once.
So in other words, so they're stepping up to take a pen, okay? And just before he hits it, the goalie can move the goal right down to the corner flag. Now,
how fast would it move?
Oh, it's quick. Fast. Yeah, move. And you can move it as little or as far as you want, but it just depends on how much you hold the button down.
Yeah.
So it could actually backfire in some cases. For example, you know, our striker, Umar Niasse. Now, when he takes a shot, no one, including him, knows where it's going. so you could move the goal and unwittingly it'll go in. And also it helps the goalies keep warm as well. Because I always feel sorry for goalies on those cold November nights.
Maybe it's something for the second keepers to do, for the reserve keepers. They don't do a lot, do they, the reserve keepers, other than do the warm-up. You could give them the box.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah. Okay, I love that. But basically get the goalies to run around.
So it's the keepers. Who else could the managers get
the manager
choice?
The manager gets to go.
And Sheila Griffiths in B42.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's there. Yeah. Once. Yeah. Oh, Sheila's pressed the button.
Yeah. Boom, it's gone.
It's gone. Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And it was Sheila also... Cam. It would also bring in that long forgotten art that I think Stanley Matthews did first, then Johan Cruyff replicated, the passed penalty. Because Cruyff did it, didn't he? And it is actually in the rule book that you can pass a penalty. You're just about to take the penalty. Smart Alex supporter moves the goal down to the corner flag,
lovely.
But you just knock it square, don't you? And the goal's over there.
Like Thierry Henry to Pires.
Exactly.
And then they mess it up.
Yeah.
Great answer, Simon. I'm going to give you another three goals there. Really, really good for Everton. So at the end of that round, the scores are Everton 10, Liverpool 4.
I can see the carrot at the end of the tunnel.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
From TalkSport, this is Glory Hunters, the podcast.
Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. James and Simon, we're going to go back to 1995 and this.
This is Jackson, right out in the middle. Still Jackson. And Stewart. It's there. Right up. Everton take the lead at the second attempt, albeit. Paul Ryder.
Paul Rideout's goal in the FA Cup final against Man United saw Everton win the match 1-0 and lift the trophy for a fifth time. But what else do you remember of that year? 1995. Here we go. Question one. It was the 50th FA Cup final to be staged at Wembley since the war. But what else was significant about that game? Was it A, it was the last time a team led by an English manager won the cup? B, it was the last time the starting lineups for both teams were comprised solely of players from the home nations? Or was it C, it was the first cup final to be attended by Princes William and Harry?
That was my first FA Cup final.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Was is that the answer?
No, that's not the answer.
I swear I've seen you before.
Why were you there, Natalie?
My dad managed to get a couple of tickets and he was going to take my brother, but I was appalled. I said, I've never been, I want to go to the FA Cup final. So he took me and we were sat next to two very happy, drunk Evertonians. And yeah, it was great.
See, you remember.
You were there, Simon.
Right, but what else was significant about the game other than Natto was there? Okay. Was it the last time a team managed by an English manager won the cup? The last time the starting lineups for both teams were comprised solely of players from the home nations? Or was it the first cup final to be attended by Princes William and Harry?
I don't think it's that last one, because they'd be toddlers. I mean, I don't know how old Harry and William are, but that's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the one about all... Because at the time, Man United had... They had Cantona... Did Kanchowskis, maybe even Poborski.
Yeah, go on, OK, I'm with your reasoning there. Let's go for then.
Maybe they did take the kids when they were really young. Princess Diana was still alive, maybe she was keen.
Go on then, go for that.
Let's go Princes.
Yeah, going Princes, you're correct. They accompanied Prince Charles, who awarded the trophy. They had them there, Prince.
Were they like 3 and 4 years old?
They must have been older than that.
How old are they now?
They're probably in their mid-30s, aren't they now? Early 30s, Natalie. Yeah. There we are. One goal to you there. Question two. 1995 was also the year of this.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Eric Cantona delivered his enigmatic response to the press following his kung fu kick at Crystal Palace. But who, more recently, has imitated Cantona by quoting the line about seagulls before walking out of a press conference? Was it A, Theresa May at a summit of European leaders? B, the actor Shia LaBeouf whilst promoting a film he was starring in? Or was it C, Archbishop Justin Welby whilst attending the General Synod of the Church of England?
What?
Was it Theresa May, Shia LaBeouf, or Justin Welby?
Well, the Archbishop one just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? So that's got to be in the running, hasn't it?
What, the Archbishop?
No, yeah.
Why on earth would a bishop say that?
If he did say.
Well, maybe Theresa May thought she was being contemporary, like when she said boycott was her favourite speaker. You have a choice. You choose.
Archbishop Justin Welby, obviously.
You're going with C, Justin Welby. Let's find out.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it is because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Archbishop Justin Welby there.
move on.
Shia LaBeouf, of course, promoting the film he was starring in. OK, question three. On the subject of films, can you tell me what was the highest grossing movie of the year in 1995? Was it A?
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
The Usual Suspects, or was it?
Guy told me one time, don't let yourself get attached to anything you are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around a corner.
That's Heat, or perhaps...
Congratulations, you're still alive.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
And that was, of course, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Was it A, The Usual Suspects, B, Heat, or Die Hard with a Vengeance, James?
Is it? I think Die Hard.
Yeah, The Usual Suspects, great film, but it's got to be pretty
sick. I think Die Hard.
Yeah.
You're going to go with Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. There it is. So at the end of the round, you scored two goals, which takes you to 12, which makes it Everton 12, Liverpool 4. Natalie and Marlon, we're going to fast forward 10 years to 2005, and this.
There will be no second chances if Shevchenko misses. He saved it! The European Cup is returning to England and to Anfield. Liverpool are champions.
Yes, it's the miracle of Istanbul, where Liverpool overturned a 3-0 deficit to beat Milan on penalties and win the Champions League.
What a night.
But what else do you remember of that year? Question one. It was the 50th season of Europe's Premier Club competition, but which of these facts about the game are false? Was it A, first time the trophy had been won by a team that hadn't won their domestic league the previous season? B, Liverpool were allowed to keep the trophy as it was their fifth European title? Or C, Liverpool were 350-1 at half-time to win the match? So which of those statements is false, though, Natalie? Which do you think?
I was in a bar. I remember where I was. I was in a bar with my friends.
OK.
But I do think maybe of the three options, it's the odds that stand out to me. But I don't know. What do you think? How many times have you won the league? Champions League, European Cup?
Six now.
So that would make sense. I imagine, obviously, first team to not have won the league. Well, we know they haven't the previous season.
Yeah.
And what's the first option?
First time the trophy had been won by a team that hadn't won their domestic league the previous season.
Other teams have done it before.
All right, well, should we go with that one?
Yeah.
A. You going with A? You're right to go with A, because United did it in 1999.
Really?
Yeah. Question two. Arsenal beat Man United to win the FA Cup, but what was particularly significant about that match? A, first FA Cup final to have no member of the royal family present. B, first FA Cup final to be decided on penalties. Or C, first final back at the new Wembley.
The royal family one. That one sticks out because I can remember them not attending an FA Cup final match, and it was a big thing. It was a big thing.
We'll go with A.
Okay, let's find out.
Patrick Vieira to win the FA Cup for Arsenal. And he has! Arsenal have won the FA Cup again.
Yes, Patrick Vieira, in his last game for Arsenal, scored the winning penalty after it had remained goalless in extra time. Arsenal won the game 5-4 on penalties. No goals for you there. Question three. 2005 was also the year of this.
England have regained the Ashes at the Oval, September the 12th, 2005. The match here is drawn. Let the celebrations begin.
Yes, England regained the Ashes in a series that gripped the nation. But can you tell me which Elton John song does Freddie Flintoff credit with inspiring the team? Was it A? Yep, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Or B? Rocket Man, or was it? Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. There we are. Which of those Elton John songs inspired the 2005 England winning Ashes team?
Wow.
Three classics, of course, of course. Marlon.
Yeah, well, but the Lion King one's not in it. I thought, that's got to be that one.
Which one from the Lion King did you think it was?
Can you feel the love tonight?
Can you feel the love tonight?
Yeah.
Is that your favourite Elton John, is it, Marlon?
So. That's what I want. It was my wedding song.
Oh, that's nice. Can you feel the love tonight? Yeah.
You've thought about that already. Nice. That's lovely. That's lovely. That's really sweet.
Extra points, extra points.
No extra points.
When's the big day? When's the big day?
Oh, when we win the league.
Not long now.
It could be next week. Oh. You've kept it waiting a while, haven't you? It depends on you winning the league.
30 years later. When we win the league next
Marlon's
time.
Marlon's the only gutted Liverpool fan.
It's a good drama. It's a good film, that. It's a good idea. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Rocket Man or I'm Still Standing.
It's got to be I'm Still
Standing.
Hit me
up.
Well, you'd have thought I'm Still Standing.
Good cricket song it'd be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm Sounds still
right.
standing.
Probably isn't right. So
Dylan.
It's too obvious.
Well, let's find out. Rocket Man.
One of my favourite memories is watching Elton John cry as all the Everton supporters sang to him. I guess that's why you call us the Blues. And we beat them in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, Watford. That was lovely, wasn't it? Yeah. What a nice thing.
You know, another question they had earlier. You know, Everton lost a 2-0 lead.
They did.
Newcastle pulled back earlier this week.
Yeah.
After the game, Carlo Ancelotti, who obviously played for AC Milan, was talking about squandering a lead. And he said, you know, guys, it's never over. I have lost a 3-0 lead in the Champions League final. Yeah. And somebody tweeted, don't tell them that, it's not going to help.
I always used to put my right boot on first, and then, obviously, my right sock.
Marlon.
Yes.
Now, you're about to go on tour. With the stand-up tour.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Emotional Blackmail.
Emotional Blackmail. Yeah. And what's it about?
It's about... I was in a coma, if you don't know.
You were in a coma?
I was in a coma a couple of years
ago. Why were you in it? Natalie's looking confused.
I know.
Were you in a coma? How did you get into the coma?
I was coming back from a show. So I was driving. Mm-hmm. I was involved in a car crash. Unfortunately, it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky enough, I'm still here.
Yeah.
But I fell asleep behind the wheel and hit a tree on the motorway.
Wow.
Or off the motorway, I came off of it. And,
oh, my goodness.
I got found anyway, so it was nice. And then.
How long were you in a coma for?
28 days.
So how were you found? Did someone see you and call 999?
Guess so, yeah. And I don't know who that person is, so I'd just like to thank them right now for saving my life.
Yeah. Let's hope they're a Glory Hunters fan.
I hope so.
I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are. Who isn't?
Exactly. So when you woke from your coma, what were you... I mean, I don't even know how you wake from a coma and what you think.
Well, there's a lot of things that did happen. Leicester won the league, which I don't know.
Yeah.
So that happened. Brexit happened as well. So I imagine that. So
also, that was the year when all those great celebrities just kept dying.
Yeah, Prince
yes. went on and on and on and on. Yeah.
But you're still here.
I am still here, Marlon.
I'm still here.
And going to see Liverpool win the league. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the first time ever because I started supporting Liverpool 30 years ago. So I've never seen Liverpool win
maybe
the league.
Maybe it's your fault.
Do you think so?
Yeah, maybe it's since you supported them.
So
you've been dragging it down. If you stop now, they might win the league. Simon, how will it be in the city when Liverpool win the league?
I don't know. It won't be in the city.
Will you just let all Evertonians just move out for a couple of weeks? A lot of Airbnbs available.
Yeah. I'm going to Manchester.
Hey, actually, you've got a show on Channel 4, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And now tell us what it's called.
Find a Fixer Flog It.
Fix It, Flog It.
We're in our fourth series, and we basically just have a wander around, me and a crazy man called Henry Cole, who's a Swindon supporter.
Is he?
And and we just dive into people's sheds and garages, grab what we want, do it up, bit of the old upcycling.
With permission, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And it's doing great, you know, they just keep asking us to do more.
When you say things, what do you find, an old bike or anything?
It could be anything, yeah. Like, we've been to places where, they went to a place where they give people goes in tanks, like armoured tanks.
Yeah.
And we just got, Henry took a missile. And I didn't want to take the missile because they weren't convinced it was dud.
You know what I mean? So he took it off and painted it, didn't he?
And all that kind of stuff turned it... I didn't like that idea. It turned it into some kind of funky kind of office kind of decoration kind of thing. But we do everything. We don't anything. Tudor panels I found in some place that had turned into something cool.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is. We have a really good laugh doing it as well.
And do you do any acting at all now?
I do, yeah. I pretend to like Liverpool supporters. On a regular basis.
Yeah.
I tell them I'm supporting them all the way through the season and it's about time they won the league, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I keep those skills up.
Yeah. Well, we're in the dying moments of the game and we move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The current losing side goes first, which is Liverpool. You are on 6 goals.
Yeah.
I'm going to list a series of footballers and their favourite books. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false.
Okay.
When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Now, do you want to ask a different question or do you want to ask it differently?
Do you understand the question?
Yeah.
Certainly do.
OK, your time starts now. Shea Given, Angela's Ashes.
True.
It is true. Joey Barton, Plato's Republic.
False.
It's true. Mm. Neil Warnock, Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
False.
It's false. Adam Lallana, The Gruffalo.
True.
It's true. Harry Kane, Little Women.
False.
It is false. Gareth Barry, The Da Vinci Code.
True. True.
It is true. Frank Lampard, The Making of Modern Britain.
True.
It's true. Jurgen Klopp, Motley Crue, The Dirt, The Confessions of the World's Most Notorious Rock Band.
True.
It's false. Jens Lehmann, The Kite Runner.
True.
It's true. Brian Clough, The Collected Raymond Chandler.
False.
It's true. Chris Smalling, Wainwright's Walks.
False.
It's false. Gary Lineker, The Wisden Cricketer's Almanac.
False.
It's true. Jordan Henderson, The Wit and Wisdom of Winston Churchill.
False.
It's false. Wayne Bridge, Horrid Henry.
True.
True.
It's true. Roy Hodgson, American Pastoral by Philip Roth.
True.
It's true.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's false. Gareth Southgate.
Do you want to ask a different question or do you want to ask it differently?
You might need this. Gareth Southgate, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
True.
It's false. Oh. OK, at the end of that round, you scored 12 goals. Excellent. Yeah. Which means you're on 18.
Oh. Yes!
5 ahead of Everton. And next up, it is Everton with James and Simon. I'm going to list a series of footballers and the jobs they had prior to their career in football. All you have to do is tell me which are true and which are false. You need 6 to win. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
No, I'm just trying not to get fined. So I hope that answers your questions.
Are we ready? Your time starts now. Ricky Lambert worked in a beetroot factory.
True.
It is true. Peter Schmeichel was a cleaner.
True.
It is true. Vinnie Jones ran an artisan coffee shop.
False.
False. George A. Popescu worked in espionage.
False.
It's true. Sven-Goran Eriksson, gentleman's tailor.
False.
It is false. Jose Mourinho, teacher.
True.
It's true. Andrea Pirlo, trainee hairdresser.
False.
It's false. Socrates, doctor.
True.
True.
True. Chris Waddle, sausage maker.
True.
It is true. Ralph Hassenhuttl, military historian.
False.
It is false. Ian Dowie worked for British Aerospace.
False.
It's true. Stuart Pearce, electrician.
True.
It is true. Louis van Gaal, interior designer.
False.
It is false. Miroslav Klose, carpenter.
True.
It is true. Shaka Hislop was an intern at NASA as an engineer.
True.
It is true. Pep Guardiola, fairground boxer.
False.
No,
false.
I'm just trying not to get fined. So I hope that answers your questions.
So at the end of that round, you scored 14 correct, which takes you to 27 goals. Absolutely thrashed Liverpool today, Everton have. Hope that makes up for the score in midweek, which means the final scores are 27 to Everton and 18 to Liverpool. Liverpool, Marlon, can you take any positive from that at all?
I mean, we tried.
You did try.
We turned up.
You did turn up. Let's say that.
We did our best.
The good thing is it's not a reflection of the true league.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that was your best, was it?
I mean...
Okay. And, James, Simon, what positives do you think that victory sends out for Everton? Pushing on for the rest of the season.
Well, it's about time we beat them in one way or another, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I think you can hold it aloft. Yeah. Very good. So to our winners, we say...
Yes! Yes! For Everton! They
can see salvation.
And for the losers,
it's time to go.
Whatever,
it's time to go now.
Whatever.
We can't keep carrying on like this.
My thanks to Natalie, James, Simon and Marlon. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. Simon, what a win. Just thrashed Liverpool, Everton today.
Well, you know, we're finally getting it together. You know, I was inspired by Ancelotti. We did the whole thing with one eyebrow raised, didn't we, James? Yeah. And I think that's made the difference.
That's what it was, it? I could see that. I wondered why you were doing that, actually. It felt weird at the time, but now I understand. Very good. James, is that your first win on Glory Hunters?
It is indeed.
Ever?
Yes, it is. Wow, I think it's the fifth time I've been on.
Do you now feel like it's less rigged?
I mean, what I take away from this is tweeting you in advance, having a word as we come in, just putting a little bit of thought into your mind. It may have been previously unfairly judged.
You feel that's what it was.
There could be. I mean, Natalie probably agrees that does work.
You thought it worked?
Did he swear you?
No, Natalie. Yeah.
I'm just checking.
No way, Marlon. Yeah. You seem to have gone very quiet. You were full of big talk before before the quiz.
Was it? Was in a coma, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I forgot so, that. I'm bored of that now. we of course the last round we asked about footballers and books they liked, and to coincide with that, we asked on Twitter, what's the greatest sports book of all time? And to name a few in no particular order, Adrian Durham and others suggested A Little Knowledge Is a Dangerous Thing by John Sitton. I've not read that. Anybody read that?
No. He's the Bring Your Dinner guy from the great documentary about Orient. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He lost his temper and delivered a truly startling full or half-time talk during which he asked his players for fights.
Wow. That's what it's like when they turn the mics off on Glory Hunters. Only a Game, Eamon Dunphy, Fever Pitch, Nick Hornby, of course, sort of changed football books, didn't it? Changed sports books completely.
It's a football book for people who don't go to football.
It was. Open, Andre Agassi. That is my particular choice. I think that is the best sports book.
You great book. That
I like it that he doesn't like the sport he's in, and then it proceeds
to explain
why.
Brilliant beginning, hasn't it? He starts on the floor of a hotel in Paris, in the dark, in agony.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a brilliant opening to a book.
Mm. It is, that first...
He's not a sports writer. The guy who wrote it was a Pulitzer Prize journalist.
Was he?
He was like a straight reporter.
I like the thing of his dad, when he's in the cot, dangles a tennis ball over his cot to make his eyes watch the tennis ball.
What about when his dad has a fight with Steffi Graf's dad?
Yeah, that's pretty when they meet. When
Andre and Steffi are getting married, and the two dads, they introduce them for the first time, and they get on really well for a while, and then they end up going, you know, of course, if I'd managed Andre...
I could have got Steffi 16 titles,
and they end up shirts
off, really
fighting on the clay court.
Yeah. The greatest footballer you never saw, the Robin Friday story, Paolo Hewitt and Paul McGuigan, the Damned United, David Peace. James, you must have something to say about that.
Great book, terrible film.
Oh, why don't you like the film?
Because it was full of major inaccuracies.
Oh, were not all the inaccuracies in the book?
Because the book was obviously fiction. It's easier to present fiction and in a book because it says fiction on the outside. Yeah. Okay. The film was presented as if it was fact.
And Forever Young, the story of Adrian Doherty's football's lost genius, Dark Trade, Donald McRae. Some great books there. Anyone want to add to that list?
Yeah, At Home with the Blue Brazils.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a
Cowden
story.
Cowden Beath, is it?
Yeah. Correct. The story of Cowden Beath, and the Cowden Beath are my second team. It was written by the vicar of Cowden Beath, and it became a little cult bestseller.
Yeah.
But the reason I love it so much is because I went to watch Cowden Beath. Cowden Beath held the world record at one time for not winning a game, and I went to watch them one November evening. The sleet was coming in sideways. I think the entire attendance was about 140. And people just huddled together like penguins to stay alive. And I went round and asked the shortest question I've ever asked. I just went, why? and the best answer I got was, well, you support them through the bad times. You support them through the good times. You've got to support them through the bad times. And I said, when were the good times? And this guy thought about it for a minute and he went, we beat Celtic in the Cup in 73.
One game.
And they were,
well,
they were the
good times. Imagine if he wasn't there for that.
Yeah. Cowden Beath is one of only four teams with the letters A, B, C, D and E in the name.
Lovely fact. And they say you don't learn anything.
You can take that away. And without Googling it, go and find out what the other...
Very good. I suggest you read Left Foot in the Grave by Gary Nelson, which is a season with Torquay United. There we are.
Is that good?
What a surprise that I've chosen that book.
Mister by Rory Smith.
Oh, another one.
That came out about 3 years ago. all about British coaches coaching abroad and how they influence football all over the world throughout the 20th century. It's fascinating.
That's it for another week on Glory Hunters. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Do rate and review and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.